Tape recorded message number TL-523. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra, following 2 Chronicles, the book of Ezra, the first of the post-captivity books, that is, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These all have to do with the return to Palestine under Zerubbabel by decree of Cyrus, of the Jewish remnant who laid the temple foundations about 536 years before the birth of Christ. And of course, later Ezra followed, and he restored the law and the ritual. When we close the book of Chronicles, we find that the southern kingdom called Judah had gone into the Babylonian captivity. And now all of the Israel, 10 tribe northern kingdom, 2 tribe southern kingdom, they are all in exile. They are all dispersed. They are all expatriates. And here we're going to read of their return, for 70 years have passed since we closed the book of Chronicles. Well, not exactly, because the last two verses of 2 Chronicles are the same record as we have right here in the book of Ezra. Now, we'll let the word speak for itself to see what it tells us. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, this Cyrus is said to be and believed to be, on good evidence, Astyages, A-S-T-Y-A-G-E-S, who was a son of Esther. He was the king of Persia, for the Persian Empire has come into the picture, the world empire, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, for Jeremiah had spoken at the end of 70 years that there would be this partial restoration. Well, the Lord, that's Yahweh, he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. You see, the Lord can do whatever he wants to do, and he can use anyone he wants to use, but he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, the governments of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Now here is a man, a Gentile, by lineage. His father was a Gentile before him, and lineage is counted, descent is counted from the male side. And so even though Esther was his mother, the Lord is going to use this Gentile, and he's one of the God-fearing Gentiles that we find in the Old Testament. So he's charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Now he says, Who is there among you of all his people? And let me tell you, there were people of all the 12 tribes in his domain, because he controlled everything. And all of these exiles were there. And they're pretty well satisfied there. And we'd have to say that most of the princes, they remained right here because they were prospering. They were doing well here. And there's a very feeble remnant that has a heart for God. And there is good evidence that this people is out of all of the 12 tribes, and they're going back now to rebuild the temple. So he says, Here, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. for he is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, because they didn't need to do this, they could make their choice. But he says, whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, that is, the beasts to bear the burdens, beside the freewill offering, for the house of God is in Jerusalem. Now we're told that then rose up the heads of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin. The chief are the heads of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites. So here you see we've got men out of Judah, men out of Benjamin. Then you've got the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised. With all them whose spirit God has raised. And therefore, these are people out of the entire 12 tribes. There's no such thing as 10 lost tribes. True, some of them would rather stay in Babylon, in the country called Assyria, than they would to go back to Jerusalem, because life will be very hard back there. But all them whose spirit God has raised go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. This is what they did. There was no law that said that they should do it. It was the decree of Cyrus, but it was not a criminal act if they didn't do it. But they did this. And also Cyrus the king himself. He brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem. See, Nebuchadnezzar's out of the picture now, but he'd brought these forth out of Jerusalem, and he had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them. 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, and 9 and 20 knives. 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought up from Babylon unto Jerusalem. These were all needed and used in the service of the Lord there. Now in the second chapter we read, these are the children of the provinces that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away from whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again unto Jerusalem and Jerusalem with every one unto his city, who came with Zerubbabel. These are their names: Jeshua, Nehemiah, Sarai, Reali, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. See, these were the number of the men of the people of Israel. This is not just the loan of Judah, but they were the people of Israel. Now, it gives these numbers. And you will notice in the third verse, there's 2,172. Fourth verse, 372. In the fifth verse, 775. In the sixth verse, 2,812. In the seventh verse, 1,254. In the eighth verse, 945. The ninth verse, 760. The tenth verse, 642. The 11th verse, 623. The 12th verse, 1,222. And here in the 13th verse, 666. Well, if you keep looking for 6666, it will come up sooner or later. I don't believe it has one bit of significance here, not one single bit. But nevertheless, it is here. And there it is, 666 of them, of the children of Adonikam. You know, you keep finding the 666 all of the time if you just look for it. Most people think that there's great significance to it, and there are many, many Christian people that are becoming just as superstitious about the number 6 or 66 or 666 as the world is superstitious about number 13. Well, the 14th verse, 2056, 15th verse, 454, and the 16th verse, only 98. That was a small group, but out of them came 98. 323 in the 17th verse, 112 in the 18th verse, 223 in the 19th verse, 95 in the 20th verse, 123 there in verse 21, 56, very small number, 56 of the men of Netophah, and of Anathoth, 128, 24th verse, 42, 25th verse, 743, 26, there were 621, verse 27, 122, 28th verse, 223, 29th verse, 52, 30th verse, 156, 31st verse, 1254, 32, 320, 33rd verse, 725, and so on, 35, 5th verse, there was 36,030. You know, the time will come in the kingdom of God when men will open the word of God and say, I was one of that number. I was one of that 42. That they can tell the truth and they can base their claim upon it. But notice this about the priests now. Beginning with the 36th verse, there were 973. In the 37th verse, 1052. Children of Pasher, 1247. Children of Harim, 1017. These are all the priests. They were all of the tribe of Levi. Not a one of them was of the tribe of Judah. Then you get in verse 40, there's 74 of the Levites. Of the singers, there were 128. And in verse 42, the children of the porters are 139. Porters were the keeper of the gates. And then it brings a long list until we get down to the 58th verse, where there was 392. And then we read in the 59th verse of the chapter here that these were they which went up from Tel Melah, Tel Harsa, Cherub, Adon, and Immer, but they could not show their father's house and their seed whether they were of Israel. These men couldn't prove that they were Israelites because their genealogy was lost. And so we go on to read about children of Barzillah. This is in verse 61 of the children of the priest, the children of Habaiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called after their name. These sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were not found, and since they could not prove their genealogy, therefore were they, as polluted, put from the priesthood. And the Tirshatha, a word that means the governor, said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things, till there stood up a priest with Urim and with Thummim. Now, if you go back to Exodus 28:30, you would find out that the 12 stones that made up the breastplate of the priest, that these were the Urim and the Thummim. And they could consult with the priest, and according to the glow, the colors that were set forth, it brought them the message as to whether a thing was true or false. We don't know much about it. No use somebody thinking that they can establish such a thing today, some kind of a peepstone or something like that. Just not there. Now, it speaks here of the total number. It says the whole kahal. It says congregation, but that's meaningless. The kahal has meaning. For Kahal was the representative body, a representative body. And just like the military is a representative body. You see, when our soldiers went off to fight in Vietnam, we were represented. They were a military ecclesia. and everyone in the United States was represented in Vietnam. And I often think that those men didn't get a very fair reception when they returned, because it was a very unpopular war. But nevertheless, we were all in it because they were a military ecclesia. Now, this word call, I don't want to belabor the point, but I want to call it your attention. This whole call together was 42,360. This was the number. And these, to be a true call, they had to be representative of all the people of Israel. And just like that, the 100 United States senators represent the 50 states. And when the Senate is in session, the people of all 50 states are represented there, and therefore it's the outpositioned ones, those who have a position which is out of the people because they were elected by majority votes, they represent all the people. And these people in Jerusalem represent all of the tribes of Israel. Now those outside are not cut off, but they are not a part of this kahal. They're still the seed of Abraham. Whether they're the 10 tribes or what they are, they're still the seed of Abraham. But God is not looking upon most of them as being his people, and they won't be till they are restored. But here now we've got the number, the entire number, 42,360. Well, besides their servants and their maids, and there was 7,337 of them, and there was among them 200 singing men and women. And then it tells us in the 66th verse as to their horses that they had, the camels that they had. And 68th verse, we read that some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. For it does have a place, and that house of God cannot be in any other place. They gave after their ability under the treasure of the work 61,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver, 100 priest garments. Now, there was a time when we could tell you just about what this was worth. But if we'd take into consideration the inflation of today and the price of gold, well, it just doesn't work. And so I've quit giving the value of these things, because if we put the value in dollars, well, that might double, you know, within a year. It might be worth twice as much. You know, I sold a house when I moved here, where I am now, 20 years ago. And that house was put on the market recently for $1,250,000. But I didn't even get one-tenth of that for it. Nowhere near to it. So you can see how things can change. So we tell you the value of things. Like the Schofield Reference Bible attempts to put this into pounds and make each dram worth $4.97, a dram of gold worth $4.97. But that was back in the days of Schofield, when he was preparing this Bible. And let me tell you, things have changed a lot since I believe this came forth in 1917. So you just leave it there. They had great wealth at that time. So that's the way things change. In chapter 70, in passage 70 of the second chapter, so the priests, the Levites, and some of the people, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethims dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities, because some of these Israelites returned in order to find a dwelling place. They went right up to the northern kingdom, where they had lived before, and there was nothing to keep them out of there. No reason why they should be kept out. The king of Babylon ruled that. He'd give these people permission to return, They were not told to live in the land of Judah or in the land of Benjamin, although I suppose since the work went on there that most of them did live there. But many of them established their homes right up in the northern kingdom. For this great Kahal, it represents all of the 12 tribes of Israel and all the land of Israel at this time. Now we go on to chapter 3. When the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Notice, the seventh month, they're all established in the cities. The people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the peoples of those countries. It's plural, not singular, but fear was upon them because of the peoples of those countries, and they offered burnt offerings thereon to the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and they offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterwards offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They had the altar, but they did not yet have the temple. They gave money also unto the masons, and the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon, to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees and Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. They had the grant to get this, so they paid men for doing it. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come up out of the captivity in Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upwards to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Joshua with his sons and brethren, Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren the Levites. Now, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David. An ordinance is a thing ordered by David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. And his mercy endureth forever. His mercy is ever flowing. It's perpetual toward Israel. See, yes, it is perpetual toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now they've got the foundation for it. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud with joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So some wept at their feeble accomplishment when they remembered the temple of Solomon, and others shouted with joy, great joy. And so there was mingled shouts, and mingled with tears. Now, the fourth chapter, they find that there's opposition. When the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built a temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Here's the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin. They heard that the children of the captivity built a temple unto the Lord God of Israel. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of their fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. Now Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Now there's no use to bring a mixture in just to increase the congregation. There's no use to take a lot of these people in because they can't represent anyone. They're not representative of anyone. These were the people that the kings had put in the land to occupy it as settlers. And they may claim that they know God. That's all right if they do. But they're not to have any part in the building of this temple. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. The people of the land that were there throughout the 70 years, they weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, Mithradath, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions, unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. I like that name, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Let's see what he did. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the chancellor, Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, Shimshai the scribe, the rest of his companions, the Dinaites, and the Afarsathites, the Tarpelites, the Afarsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susanshites, the Hivites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great noble Asnepher brought over and set in the city of Samaria. And the rest are on this side of the river, and at such a time. This is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king. They say, Thy servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time. Be it known unto the kings that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city is builded and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. They just won't pay taxes, anything you lay upon them, whether it's toll, tribute, or custom. Now because we have maintenance in the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king. The search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time. For which cause was this city destroyed? We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Well, that's a pretty serious charge. 17th verse we read, Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time. The letter which ye sent unto us has been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and search had been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of the king, of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year, unto the second year, the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then the prophets Haggai, and we know of Haggai, of course, we'll be dealing with his prophecy later on. There's Zechariah. They prophesied unto the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. So they're giving the word of God to them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the king of the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. They start the work again. At the same time came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shaphar Bonzai, and their companions, and said thus unto them, Who hath commanded you to build this house and make this wall? They said unto them after this manner, What are the names of the men that make this building? But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning the matter. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shathar Bonzai, and his companions, the Aphrasakites, which were on this side of the river, sent to Darius the king. Then sent a letter unto him, wherein was written, unto Darius the king all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went to the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and with this work goeth fast on and prospereth there in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them, Who command you to build this house and to make up these walls? We asked their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were chief of them. And they returned unto us answer, saying, We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build this house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up, referring, of course, to Solomon. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build the house of God, the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said unto them, Take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be builded in his place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar, and laid the foundation of the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even till now, hath it been building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be a search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem. And let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. And to us the king made a decree. Search was made in the house of the rolls, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. Every decree the king ever made was reserved there. And there was found at Achmatha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll. And therein was a record thus written: in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered the sacrifices. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, the breadth thereof 70 cubits, with the rows of great stones and a row of new timber. Let the expenses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is Jerusalem, and brought into Babylon, be restored, and brought again into the temple which is at Jerusalem. Everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now therefore, Tatnai, gather beyond the river, Shethar, Bosnai, and your companions, the Aphorsachites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elder of the Jews build the house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree, what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that of the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered, and that which they have need of. And he mentions all the sacrifices for the priests that have been given to them day by day without fail. Verse 10, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and of his sons. Also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, let it be used as a scaffold, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and destroy the house of God which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Now, those are strong words, aren't they? But that's the way that these kings spoke. And Tatnai, governor of this side of the river, Shethar, Bosnai, and their companions, according to that which Darius the king has sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded. Now get it. And they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Well, I see that my time is running out. We'll take up this study in the next lesson, and we can probably pretty well cover this book in just 2 lessons. And I would like to do so, because if there's more that you want to consider and more that you want to know, I think you should do it for yourself, but we will take this up in our next study. It's been interesting to read this once again. I've been over it many, many times, but I never seem to know enough about it, and I can always learn more. And I'm more familiar with it this time, after this time of reading, than ever before. And of course, I read it several times before I started these messages, so it has been my joy to go over this with you. And I'm going to use the words of Artaxerxes when he writes to Ezra and says, "Perfect peace, and at such a time." Yes, these are very difficult times for many, always dangerous, always difficult, but especially so at the present time for so many. May you have perfect peace, and at such a time. So till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.